Though the disciples struggle with Jesus' nature and identity, they receive the promise that they too will be identified with God and God's mission. Though he must leave them now, Jesus promises the coming of the Advocate, whom God will send to the comfort and enlighten them. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O God. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you do not see or know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides in you, and he will be with you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who has called to our side, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to invite you to join me in a breathing exercise, if you will. We're going to take three long, deep breaths, inhaling through your nose, if you can, and exhaling out your mouth likewise. So inhale. And exhale. Again. Paying attention to your breath. Bringing it in your nose as it whistles past your nose hairs, filling your lungs, expanding your chest. And then as you exhale, that wind whistling, pursing through your tightly closed lips. I learned this exercise as a way to gather myself in the most busiest of times. It was my very first candidacy committee meeting, so I was a little nervous, so it was very helpful and fitting for the time. I since have adopted to this. It's a practice that any time I'm feeling a little anxious or need space, that I can take, and as I inhale, I think God's, and I exhale, peace, bringing God's peace in and out through my body. This morning, I want to do this exercise again, but this time a little bit differently. As we exhale, to say, Ruah, Ruah. Too loud. That's all right. It's Pentecost. We can be loud. Ruah, the Hebrew word for spirit, referring to God's spirit, that spirit that was over the waters in creation, that spirit that was throughout all of the Old Testament. So again, inhale, exhale, Ruah. guessing most of you are uncomfortable and said it as quietly as you could, if you did it at all. Ruah. God's Spirit. Calling upon God's Spirit, the Ruah, the breath, the wind, the Spirit. In our New Testament reading, John uses the word paraclete, meaning helper, comforter, encourager, intercessor. The names given to God's Holy Spirit. Names and their meanings both reveal to us many different facets of God's Spirit. But what does it mean to invoke that Spirit? What does it mean, or what are we asking God when we say Ruah through our breathing exercises? In our gospel acclamation, when we sing, Come, Holy Spirit, come, what are we asking of God's Spirit? And what are we asking and inviting the Spirit into in our own prayer and devotional life with our in our own time? What is it that the Holy Spirit does? What does it do for the world, for the church, for us individually? Through our three scripture readings this morning, we see many different pieces of that Spirit. First, in Acts, we heard of chaos. It's the church's birthday. Particularly for those outside of the Jesus movement. And when they're gathered in the house, a loud rush of wind comes in. Fire as tongues sit upon their heads. They're speaking in crazy languages. There is bewilderment everywhere. People are acting foolishly by standards. So much so that they're questioned for being drunk at 9 in the morning. It's chaos. Chaos that brought a diverse people together. Chaos that started Christ's church. In a Romans passage, we hear this word of the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption as the identifier, the bringing in, the one that names us as God's child. One that frees us from fear. One that makes us heirs to God's kingdom. God brings us closer to one another as a family, to one another, to God. In our John text, again, we hear this word advocate, which literally means one who is called alongside. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit as one who is called alongside of his disciples, but also us today. A lifelong partner, a teacher, a reminder, a peace bringer. An advocate who is just as present by our side, just as Jesus was present with his disciples that evening. As Lutherans, we confess that the Holy Spirit is the bringer of faith. We come to faith, we remain in faith, and we live our lives of faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luther writes in a small catechism in response to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with its gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as it calls, gathers, and enlightens, making us holy with the whole Christian church on earth, keeping it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily, In this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sin, mine and those of all believers. And on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Invoking the Holy Spirit, invoking the Spirit of God, causes chaos, adoption, an advocate and faith. So much beautiful imagery, so much to sink our teeth into. Yet just these scripture passages only reveal a small piece of what that Spirit is doing then and in our lives today. So, brothers and sisters, what does God's Spirit invoke in you these days? Have you paid attention to it? Have you been looking for the Spirit's activity in and around your lives? Just as you pay attention to your breath in that exercise we just did a few moments ago. The Spirit of God is the life force for believers today. It is the life force of believers today. We need God's Spirit just as much now as we did, or the church did, back that first Pentecost after Jesus' ascension. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The Spirit is there. The Spirit is there, it's here, it's amongst us, it's filling your lungs every day, whether we are conscious of it or not. It's just as certain as our breathing, the Spirit, it is stirring chaos. Coming in and out, new and seasoned believers, among this church and throughout the entire world. The Spirit, Ruah, is everywhere. So when we call upon the Spirit, when we invoke the Spirit of chaos, we're invoking disruption from the complacency, the self-serving church, back into one that is faithfully serving out of love for the neighbor, sharing the good news of Christ for those who need to hear it. One that goes out as Christ's command, meeting people where they are at, allowing the Spirit to guide and direct, not giving it a back seat. Pentecost marks one of the three main celebrations, holidays of the church: Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. Christmas and Easter have been over-commercialized, but not Pentecost. Christmas and Easter are easy to talk about. The baby Jesus who came to be amongst us. Easter, the risen Lord who saves us. But Pentecost, that command to go out to share our faith in every aspect, is much more challenging and often can look like a chaotic ride. Because this chaotic ride is not it's not chaotic because it's without order. It's chaotic because it breaks through the barriers and beaten paths society, even the church itself, has created and defined as our route. When we invoke the Spirit of adoption, it is showing us how God's kingdom is inclusive of all, even those who aren't part of our regular tribe. The Spirit connects us by communicating with them in their native languages just on that Pentecost day. Whether that language be a specific spoken language like Spanish, Vietnamese, or ASL, but also the languages such as culture languages of the digital, scientific, and musical worlds, gathering together a single Spirit-filled community for the sake of the world. Because there's room in this Spirit-oriented journey for everyone. When we invoke the Spirit Advocate, we're naming and claiming God's presence amongst all people in all situations as the helper, the comforter, the encourager, the intercessor. That means the vulnerable, uncomfortable journey with the Spirit is leading us. It is with the Spirit. The point isn't that it is easy. The point is that the Spirit is with us. That Spirit is the advocate, the one who joins us on our journeys. And yes, it too, again, feels scary. And we might even feel at times that we're holding on for dear life. But God is there in the Spirit to guide and comfort us through the wilderness, through that trail of the faith journey. That's a journey lived in the Spirit. And finally, when we invoke the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of faith feeds the mystery of God that lies within us. Faith isn't about certainty or proof of God's existence, who God is, or what God is about. Faith is trusting in the mystery of God's loving presence. Faith is relational. Faith is relational, not cognitive. It's about being connected in an intimate way with God and those on this wild, Spirit-filled journey we're embarking on with the sustenance that we need. That is faith, forgiveness, and all the other gifts of the Spirit. Invoking the Spirit of chaos, of adoption, the advocate of faith. Again, such a small sampling of what it means to call upon God's Spirit. Where is that Spirit calling you, brothers and sisters? Ruah. The Spirit, like our breath, both inside and outside of our beings, is the one of whom we can either be conscious or unconscious of. God's Spirit is here, brothers and sisters. God's Spirit is everywhere. It is in you. It is for always and forever. Are we conscious of this promise of Jesus? Are we willing to make time to take it in deeply, fully filling and expanding our laws with the life force of this world? God's Spirit is in and around us. Take it in. Amen.